with, to some degree, what I was sharing with you last week. And so we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse 8. God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Today my title is God's intention for His people is for you and I to reign as kings. Don't get too excited. Are you going to reign as kings in the kingdom of God? I'm looking at you. I'm not cross-eyed, okay? Yeah, okay. I might wear glasses, but I'm not cross-eyed, okay? God wants us to reign as kings in life. In other words, He wants us to live in victory. Amen? Who wants to live in victory? That is a poor effort. That seriously is a poor effort. You know, I mean, that is like, I'll live in victory if you want. If you want me to, I'll do it. No. Who wants, thank you, Seer. Praise God, he's got his nose in his Bible and he's listening to the translation, which takes a few seconds later, and suddenly his hand goes up. You know, it's like, it's not delayed, it's just, I know what's happening. Yeah. Hallelujah. At least I've got one. Glory to God that wants to live in victory. Amen. I want to live in victory. I want to live in victory over sin, sickness and disease. Who wants to live over sin and over victory over sin, sickness and disease? Amen? There's been a lot of flu going around this nation and around the world. Many people have been really, really sick. Some have even died. I'm told today that something like 1,500 people have died in this country in the last few weeks through this flu that has been sweeping through the nation. Yesterday, it decided to knock at my door. I had this horrendous sore throat, beginning to get to a point where I could hardly speak. My bones were beginning to ache, my flesh was beginning to ache, and I said, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. I refuse to accept it. We had to go out and see someone, so I couldn't stay at home and, you know, sort of sit by the fire and keep warm. I had to go out and visit with somebody. When I got home, I felt even worse. But you know, there's that scripture that always comes to mind, Exodus. Write this down, Exodus 25. Let me just double check it for you. I always get this one mixed up. 25, 23 or 23, 25. Bear with me a second. I'm sure we've got it right. Exodus 23, verse 25. And it says this. But you shall serve the Lord your God. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water He says, and I will remove sickness from the midst of you. He said, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water and remove sickness from you. So it's about as we serve God, as we honor God, as we put God first, he says, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water and I will remove sickness from the midst of you. And you know, I took some bread and a drink last night, and I took that promise with it. And I said, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that your word is true and that your word is powerful and that you are a God and not a liar. And I prayed that scripture into my heart and my life as I took that bread. I had a battle in the night. But kings fight battles. And I won. The Lord brought me through in victory, and I just rejoice and give thanks to him. And I would encourage you to begin to believe and to trust the word of God. And as you believe and as you trust the word of God, you will see God moving in power. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love towards us. God demonstrates his love towards us in healing, in deliverance, in saving us, in giving us eternal life, in allowing us to come into his very presence and to know him, whom to know is life eternal. He says, God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Girls, Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by the transgressions of one's death, death reigned, and though the one much more, those who receive the abundance of grace, of the gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. Through the death, through the sin of Adam, he brought death into our lives. But through the death of Christ, he brought life into us as we ask him to be our Lord and Savior. So from one we are transformed from eternal death into eternal life. You know, you and I are transformed from the dominion of death. You know, when we are sinners, when we are lost, when we're not following Jesus, we're in the dominion of the realm of death and eternal death. Is that what you want? Is that how you want to live? Because the world outside is living in that realm of eternal damnation, of eternal death, and they are dominated by the world, by the Satan. Of Satan in their lives and the sickness that is in the world, and they're being ruled and dominated by Satan. Yeah. But today, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we're dominated and ruled by the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. What dominates you? What drives you? What rules you? What takes hold of you? What moves you? Is it the dominion of sin in your life? Or is it the dominion of the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, in your life? What moves you? Paul said, it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. Are you going to let Christ be the one who lives in you, lives through you, and that in you He can do through you signs, wonders, and miracles? Are you going to let this Jesus dominate your life? Are you going to let Jesus be the King of your life and rule and reign? Because if you push Jesus off the throne, and you leave a vacant throne, I'll tell you this, Satan will sit on it. Satan will fill it. He does not need an invitation. He will just move in. If the throne's empty, if the center of your life is empty, then He will just move in. Can somebody just sort out this lady over here? She's having problems with this headphone. Will somebody who speaks Nepalese just sort it out for her? Thank you. We bought them to be used for a purpose that might help people hear and understand the Word of God and grow in the things of the Kingdom of God. Let's be effective. Thank you. One thing we have to realize, that as we speak, we can do one of two things. We can either speak life, or we can speak death. Life or death. The Word of God says there is life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. It says there, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yeah. And so we need to realize that as we speak out the Word of God, we are speaking life. If we speak negative things, and if we speak the things of the world, and confess, I'm sick, I'm going to die, my feet are killing me, you know, and we go into this negativeness of life, because for some reason humanity always seems to be negative. This might go wrong. This might happen. Hang on. It might not happen also. The media. This might happen. This disaster might happen in the next so many years. And yes, it might not happen also. But they don't say that. It may be that it's only a 50-50 chance. But they still don't tell you it might not. It's always, it might happen. And so that might happen is there to put fear into our lives. Jesus came, and He came to be the Son of God. He came to be the God of love. And a verse of Scripture in the Word of God says perfect love. Amen. Casts out, drives out all fear. And so as we allow the Word of God to come into our lives, it will drive out fear. God never created you or me to live in fear. You know, if you're living in fear, you find that you may stop eating a bit. You might find that you start feeling sick when you have food. Who loves to take exams? No? No fear. I hated exams. You know? You know when they say, I had butterflies in my stomach. Yeah, my butterflies were as big as elephants. Hmm? Have you had big butterflies as big as an elephant? And you're thinking, I just want to be sick. I just feel like I want to be sick. You know, I just don't want to go through this. I hated exams. Why? Because it was the fear that was in there. The fear that I might fail. The fear of what might happen if I fail. Crazy. God does not want you to fear, and God does not intend you to fail. God intends you to be successful. God intends to bless you. And as you put Jesus first in your life, you will find His blessing come over you. You know, as we read that part in Proverbs where it says, there is life and death and power in the tongue. Well, Jesus, when He was walking the earth, would speak to people. And He'd speak words of compassion and words of love. And those words of compassion and those words of love were creative words. They were a force that came from the very life, from the very throne room of God. And those words released healing. Amen. The man with a withered hand in Scripture, Jesus speaks to the man, speaks to the hand, that it should be opened. He says, and immediately the hand was opened. This is God at work. Today, I'm not sure that the church generally believes that Jesus still heals. I'm not sure that the church generally, in their meetings, expects Jesus to turn up via the Holy Spirit and to minister healing. It's all, we'll let the band play and we'll have a great bouncy time, we'll have the flashing lights, we'll have the guy to come and preach, and then we'll all sit down or go home and go and have a coffee, and that's it, over and done with. I have been fed, I have been tickled, my emotions have been dealt with, and everything's okay for me, and I'm just leaving. But we leave powerless. Yeah. We leave unanointed. Yeah. We leave without the very presence of God amongst us. Because, you know, we need to be out 7 days a week sharing Jesus. Yeah. Taking that opportunity. The lost people are outside. The unsaved are outside. Most people in church shouldn't are saved. But the lost are out. And we need to be empowered in the church together. We need to come saying, I am hungry for more. We need to come and say, I want more of God. I want God to move in my life. I want to be able to be like Jesus. To reach out and touch somebody and see them healed. Set free. Even raised from the dead if that situation arises. Mark chapter 1 and verse 41 says this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. In verse 40 it says, and the leper came to him, Jesus, begging him, asking him, and falling on his knees before him, and saying, Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean. Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean. You know, for you and I, if we're seeking to move in the ministry of healing, this is what we need to be like. Verse 41. And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. You know, Jesus did something there that nobody was allowed to do. And that was to go up to a leper and to actually touch them. Because the moment he did that, Jesus was classed as being unclean, contaminated. And that he should offer an offering to the high priest and a sacrifice and separate himself for so many days to know that he was clean. But Jesus broke the rule. And he operated out of compassion. The high priests, it was their job. The priesthood, it was their job to minister to the people. And yet there's a leper in their midst that lives around them. Yeah. And all they were interested in was, give us your money. Give us your money. Bring your offerings and bring the good stuff. But Jesus reached out and laid hands on him and said, be healed. Be clean. And the leprosy immediately left him. And the parts of his body which had fallen off, because that's what leprosy does, causes fingers to fall off, ears to fall off, etc., they were restored back immediately. This is the Jesus that lived and died for you and for me. This is the Jesus that has come to set captives free. This is the Jesus that should rule and reign in our lives. This is the Jesus that moves us to minister into people's lives and heal people. The Word of God encourages that, you know, the enemy, the devil, is not stronger than Jesus. He's not greater than God. Romans 16 and verse 20. The book of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 20, says, the devil is under our feet. The devil is under our feet. We stamp on him. We take authority over him. We crush him. We crush him under our feet. We don't bow the knee to the devil, but we crush him under our feet. I have a question. How big is your God? How big is your God? Is he a real God? Or have you let him become a God of stones? A God of wood? A God of metal? Or is your God a God of spirit and of power? That everything that has a name will bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know some of you have come out of backgrounds where you worship stones and idols. They never speak. They never bring healing. They never bring joy. They constantly take from you. Jesus has come to set us free from all those captives. Amen. Jesus has come. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the God, the Creator of all things. He's the God who gave us life. Amen. And gave us freedom. It's not about spells and potions that voodoo doctors decide to think up and sell to people. It is about the power of prayer. It is about the power of the Word of God that has come to set captives free. You know, while I was thinking about this message, a song came to me that we used to teach children in Sunday school. We taught it in Sunday school to the children, and then when we got older, we decided to, well, we doubted it. And it goes like this: my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Amen. And then suddenly when we grew up and became an adult, we decided we weren't going to believe that anymore. There's a verse of scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 13. He's the same. Yesterday, today,
Amen.
And forever. When I was a child, and I'm being told, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do, I believed it. Children would ask that we would pray for their pets. And we did. And their pets were healed. We become teenagers. We decide now we're rebellious. We know everything. We're now a teenager. We know more than anybody, anything else. The adults have forgotten more than what we know. But we're still smarter than them anyway. And we suddenly start to doubt, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. We begin to let the world come in with all its bright lights and the lies of the professors and our intellect. And we're told that there isn't really a God, you know. You're just going to get by through life by what you can do. Well, from my side of life, the things that I have seen and the things that I've seen God do, the miracles that I've seen Him do, then I'm still here. As a child, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there is nothing that He cannot do. Hush. And there's a... I'll get it when I get home, don't worry. As a teenager, I thank God that I managed to get through believing God, because I came to Christ as a teenager. So maybe I came to Christ as a teenager, but I was still like a kid. You know, I was in the candy shop. I just found Jesus for the first time, and I'd seen Him moving, I'd seen Him healing people, I'd seen the hand of God working in people's lives. And I believed that my God was so big, so strong and so mighty, there was nothing that He could not do.
Amen.
And then as I moved on in life, I met people who were maybe 10 years older than me, who were then becoming my leaders. And they weren't sure that my God is so big. They weren't sure that my God is so mighty. And they weren't sure that there's nothing that He cannot do. And they would tell me, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't believe God like that. I would say, why? Because when I was a child, you told me to believe like a child. So what suddenly changed? God hasn't changed. The Word tells me He's not changed. But as we get older, we think we get smarter. We get educated. We have all this technology. And we think we know better. And the Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the things of the kingdom of God. So you and I have to believe this Bible with that tiniest of faith and trust God and say, this is real. This is real. This book is truth. This book is love. This book is life. This book is healing. There's a verse of scripture in Job. Job talks about that there are fresh water springs coming up in the depths of the ocean. Now that was written possibly before Moses was written. Written a long, long, long time ago. Some years back, scientists developed a piece of equipment that they could put into the sea called a bathysphere. And they went down into the depths of the ocean. And do you know what they discovered? They discovered that in the very depths of the ocean, there was fresh water springs bubbling up in the ocean. Well, excuse me. Job did not have a bathysphere. Job had never been to the bottom of the oceans. Job had never seen that part of life on earth. But he'd seen more than that. He'd been speaking to God the Creator. And God the Creator told him these things. There is all wisdom, there is all knowledge in God. Please don't grow up into an adult that has doubts, unbelief. Grow up into a mature man and woman of God that has faith in the Creator, that has faith in His promises, that has faith in His Word, that will trust Him to the very ends of the earth. For He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Trust Him. Trust Him. You know, today in our country we have companies, and they call it, they have a, you know, we have a small company, we call it Harvest Fields Limited. Tesco's Limited, Morrison's Limited. Don't let us have a title, God Limited. Because God is not limited. God is God. Don't you and I restrict God. Allow Him to move and to flow through us. Allow Him to be the God Almighty. That can destroy the works of the devil. That can pull down the strongholds. If you remember David, he had some mighty men. Well, initially they weren't mighty men. They were the riffraff. They were guys that were in debt. They were the scum of Israel. They were robbers, they were thieves, they were in debt. They had a vendetta against the king. And 600 of them joined up with King David and said, "Yeah, we've come to join you." And David had to spend time sorting them out. David had to spend time with them until they got to a point where many of these men, who were just normal guys, they weren't giants. 5'8", 5'9", 5'11", whatever. They weren't 6'6", they weren't 7-foot giants. But you know, when God came into their lives, when they got a grip of, found out who God really was, who the God of David was, inside they became spiritual giants. They became mighty men, and some of them slayed armies all by themselves.
Amen.
In a day. Yeah. The bodies were stacked high.
Yeah.
And it was just them, just one man. They were anointed by God. They had found God, and God was in their lives. You see, these men had a relationship with the Almighty God.
Amen.
And for each and for every one of us, it is essential that you and I have a relationship with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because in that relationship, we will become mighty men and mighty women of God. God wants you to be mighty. God wants you to be blessed. God does not want you controlled by the devil. God wants you to be a mighty woman of God. God wants you to know the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. God wants you to know the power of the Word of God flowing in your life. God has not come to destroy you. God has come to bless you. God has not come to tear you to pieces. God has come to put you back together. God has come to encourage, to strengthen, and to bless you in life. God is not your enemy. God is your friend. Because there's a blood covenant between you and God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross. And in that blood covenant, Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, is your Heavenly Father, who loves you with an everlasting love, who cares for you, is interested in whatever's going on in your life. He's even interested in if you need a parking place. Yeah, I can't be interested in whether I need a parking place. Well, I'll tell you this. I pray for parking places when there's been none around and suddenly one appears, and I say, rejoice, and say, thank you, Jesus. You've given me a place to park. He's interested in what is going on because it says his eye is always upon you. He's looking over you. He's watching over you. But we need to allow him. We need to allow him to operate in our lives. Today, where are the mighty men and women of valor for the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are they? Where are the mighty men and women of valor and strength and honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's too busy having a happy, clappy time. Everybody's too busy doing their own thing. When Jesus said these words, He'd come to do the work of the Father. He'd come to do the work of the Father. And you know, we who've been adopted into the family of God need to be about the work of the Father. And Jesus said that when He was just a teenager. But He continued it right unto the point of His death, to continue the work of the Father, that the Father might restore the friendship, the relationship of love and connection back together, that mankind might have the glory upon them that was there in the very beginning when Adam was first created, when the glory of God was covering Adam. And so today God wants the glory of God to be shining out of you and me. You see, on the cross up here that hangs in the church, see the painting of Jesus, you see around His head there's a thing called an halo. This is the artist trying to portray something of the anointing and the glory of God that was upon Him. And I know modern evangelicals feel sick at something like that. They balk at it. They think, oh, it's horrible. Well, let me tell you this. It doesn't go far enough.
No.
It's not just a halo of glory that was upon Him. He was covered from head to toe with the glory of God. When He was on Mount Transfiguration, it says there that Jesus glowed from head to toe. It says when Moses and Elijah came, it said that they glowed from head to toe. That's the coming kingdom. That's the coming kingdom. Today is the kingdom of God. Not tomorrow. This is the day for the kingdom. And it is time for us as the people of God to begin to shine.
Amen.
We used to sing a chorus, "Shine, Jesus, shine."
Yeah.
Well, "Shine, Jesus, shine" needs to have Jesus in you, and you need to be the shiners. We need to be the ones who people look and say, what is it about you, Shushma? What's so different about you? There's like a glow over you. There's something about you that's special. Whoa. And then you start to tell them, hey, guess what? This is my Jesus that loves me, that lives in me, and He shines out from me. And He wants to reach out and touch people's lives. This is what salvation is about. Turn to, finally, to 2 Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians, chapter 6. Second book of Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 14. If we want to live in victory, Second Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 14. If we want to live and to maintain our victory, These are some things we need to be aware of. And it says this in verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Don't have a bond that's strong with unbelievers. Let your bond be stronger with God. Don't be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership, having righteousness and lawlessness, or fellowship with light and darkness, can work? It can't. Light and darkness cannot live in harmony. One has to rule or reign. Light and darkness cannot live in harmony. One has to rule or reign. Verse 14 says, of what harmony has Christ with devil worship? What has the believer in common with an unbeliever? Very little. Don't try and make your best friend who's an unbeliever your best friend. It'll never work. Verse 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, the Bible says this, for we are the temple of God. We are the temple of a living God. We are the temple of the living God. We don't go to idol worship. If we go to idol worship, we're going back to Egypt. We're going back to the things of darkness. And when we came to Christ, a light came in to turn us away from darkness and lead us into His precious light. Verse 16 says, for what are the temple of the living God? Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He goes on to say, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. God is making it clear to each and to every one of us, don't turn back to the things of the world. Don't turn back to your past, because your past will destroy you. Your past is demonic. Your past is sin and sickness and disease. Your past is failure. Your past is destruction. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And so today, you know, people might invite you to a celebration. What celebration are they inviting us to? Is it a celebration to worship a false idol, a false god? What should we say? No. It's simple. And I know so often people say, well, I might come. That usually means I'm not coming. When they say that to me, I might be there. That usually means no. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. I might see you on... No, you won't. I know you're not coming. Because might today means no. We're just afraid to say no. I might come. But I don't want to offend you by saying no. Just say no, I'm not coming. That's fine. At least I'll know not to expect you. I won't be disappointed. But you see, we're afraid to say no. And the Bible gives us a verse that says, cast aside all doubt, all fear. Cast aside all doubt and all fear. Cast aside all anxiety and all worry. And then, let's go in the strength of the Lord our God. Let us go in the strength of the Lord our God. God is raising up a people that will go out in His strength, not their strength. That will go out in His power and not your power. That will go out and see signs, wonders and miracles. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there is nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, He's so strong and so mighty, there is nothing that He cannot do. And we need to stand on those sort of words and declare them and convince ourselves. We're not convincing God. We need to convince ourselves that God is well able to do it. But He wants you. He wants you to be involved. He wants you connected. He wants you to see Him moving in power. He wants you to feel the presence and the power of God flowing through your life. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. Let us begin to reign as kings and queens in the presence of Almighty God. Let us be the ones who stand on the very promises. Let us be the ones who believe that God can do great and mighty things in your life and through your life as you live your life to the glory of God. Amen. 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 Praise God.